Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
It's a fishing inferno on this Memorial Day weekend. Hey, we're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We are May 28th, 29th, and yes, Monday, the 30th, the three-day weekend kickoff of summer's upon us. And the fishing, it's going to get even better, but it is crazy right now. Whether you're out front or back in the bay, whether you're on the reefs, wrecks piled up for these sea bass that they just seem to keep on coming. But we have stripers, we have weakfish, we have blues. Crabbing has started. It is just, and fluke, flounder, all over the place, especially in the bays. I'm seeing fish in the bays. Here's the thing, and the guys and gals are still bitching and moaning. Now it's, oh my God, I can only have one over 18, that's it. I said, yeah, but the 17 to 17.99, taking some home fish for dinner. Yeah, but we're only catching 18 to 22 inch fish in the back. And there you have it, no pleasing everyone. Hey, some good news from the Murphy administration. Yeah, I know, you heard that from Tompy. Good news from the Murphy administration. At least you'll be going to the state parks and forests and recreation areas. With the start of the Memorial Day weekend today, entry to all New Jersey state parks, forests, and recreation areas of this summer will be free of charge. Now, if you want to do the camping thing or whatever, that's still, you know, you're going to still have fees for that. You want to go, you want to hike, you want to swim, whatever. It is free of charge. That's a good thing. And we have plenty of stuff going on. Really Jam Show coming up in our next two segments is Chris Shoplock, Jersey's own Chris Shoplock, Nomad Design USA marketing manager. We're talking to Vertrex Vibe. We're talking to Shikari, some other great, really hot Nomad Design baits. And, before we get to our first segment with Shoplock, we have to have a shout out to Peter and Alyssa. Alyssa, you got to tell Peter, stop beating up the reels like that, man. This guy is rough, tough on his spinning reels. Met him at Creekside Outfitters earlier this week. Great couple. I hope they're enjoying the great fishing going on in New Jersey. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. We'll be right back with Chris Shoplock. Also, remember I've been mentioning Jim Hutchinson, Editor's Logs, and the Fisherman Magazine, especially during the month of April, the May edition, and the online. Hutch is going to be on talking about some stuff, man. Stay tuned in. Jim Hutchinson, managing editor, New Jersey and Delaware Bay edition of Fisherman. And we will have a fish report. What's going on in LBI? Hey, what a weekend. I can't wait to get it going. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
When you need to know, it's WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
What dealer wants to approve you if you clear $350 per week?
Who is Matt Black Kia?
What dealer will pay off your trade even if you owe thousands more than it's worth?
Who is Matt Black Kia?
Correct. Do you have a job and clear $350 per week at Matt Black Kia in Toms River and Egg Harbor Township? You're virtually approved. Plus, we're overloaded with trades. Even one-owner trades, many with factory warranty. And they must go to make room for new Kias arriving daily. Just because you don't see your new Kia on the lot doesn't mean you can't be driving it home tomorrow. So bring any trade, even if you owe thousands more than it's worth. And don't forget, you can't make a mistake with our 4-day love it or leave it return policy.
It's gotta be a Matt Black Kia.
Offers with approved credit through Kia Motors Finance. Not all will qualify. Go to MattBlackKiaNJ.com for complete details. Expires
6/5/2022.
Matt Black Kia, 6211 Black Horse Pike, Egg Harbor Township. And now on Route 37 in Tom's River.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, I'm all discombobulated today because of some mishaps which got through. Okay, he was able to get through them, but sleep has been rare these past, 48 hours. Maybe we'll get into that sometime next week. Comedy of errors, but it happens. Hey, upcoming is the last week of segment D, period D, whatever, the turkey season, the spring gobbler season. 5 more days. This is crunch time. And I'll tell you, we lost, what do you figure, that nor'easter, rain and winds, whatever. I mean, you could still go out and hunt, but conditions made it almost impossible. We lose 6 or 7 days, 8 days in there. So I don't know what the harvest take is going to be. We will find that out in a few weeks when the numbers are tabulated. But like I said, it is crunch time. Those of you still with permits, I would believe this has to be, in these conditions too, now with the blast of summer heat, it's here. The heat is on. This has to be probably upcoming the toughest week to put a gobbler down. You know, get those feet in the air, get that beard stroked out. Joining us on the line right now, I had to put in a call to the man, the one, the guy, Ronnie Jones, president and owner, ACP, Rednecks Pride Game Calls and Outdoor Sense, manufacturer of just some incredible, incredible turkey calls, among others. Try to get, okay, you have that permit, you have your last 5 days. The one advantage, if you want to call it that, you'll be able to hunt until sunset. You don't have to get out of the woods at noon. You'll be able to hunt from half hour before sunrise to sunset. That increases the odds a little bit. But, man, I'll be damned, man. This has been one tough turkey season. Ron, how you doing, man? Would you agree to that?
Oh, Tom, it's been one in the books that, it's exasperating this year for me personally. I mean, it's a rough one this year.
Ronnie, imagine if you're exasperated, imagine what I feel like.
Yeah.
As I said on the way down here this morning, listeners, Jake and two different gobblers, three birds, three different areas, just strolling along the road without a care in the world. Ronnie, what do you think's up with that? I mean, they on hens, or they all tuckered out for mating? What do you think?
I personally am believing that we're in that really last part of the season to where they even give a hoot about breeding. The birds are still there and they're still going to breed. Don't get me wrong, but you know they're tuckered. I think our season started out with in my area anyway. I can't speak for all areas, but in my area the birds. It looked like we was in the last of the breeding season at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So we heard early in March, I heard reports of birds breeding early March, the end of March rather, which would put, 3 to 4 weeks of breeding by the time our season came in, which is what we would want. You know, I mean, that's what the seasons are up. So that way the hens are sitting on eggs and, you know, they're sitting long enough to where if you bust them off of the nest, they're going to come back to it.
Right.
But the problem with that also is for us, the hunters, is it's rough at that point because the birds that's still hanging on hens, they're not pulling off of them. And then the other birds are just, I'm tired. Okay.
Yeah. Right. It's funny with your assessment, if I may interrupt you for a second. But, again, I travel a lot. I spoke with guys at, turkey hunting areas 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 even, oh, down 11, Somerset County area, turkey hunting area 14, prime area. Pretty much saying the same thing. Tommy P, this is one tough, badass year, man. They're hearing birds, and they're not responding. Ron, I don't know what happened, but I'm looking at, what's it, ShopRite.
It's rough, and even off the roost, once for me in my area, even off the roost, they might be talking, but they wasn't talking like they normally do. You know, typically, they're really going hard on us. You make a you burp and they make a noise, right?
Right.
This year they just seem subdued. So it's what it is. This is where you wish you had started in early April rather than later April. But it's what it is, what it is. You can still kill some birds. It's going to be really rough today and tomorrow and next week. I don't know. I didn't see the extended forecast, but I know tomorrow 90 degrees.
Yep.
Them old boys hunting tomorrow, it's going to be murder tomorrow.
Plus, I don't care how much permethrin, you're still dealing with the ticks, Ron. They are bad this year, brother. Ooh.
Well, even the ticks, and you're going to be right in the heart of it because those birds, they're going to come out, they're going to go right to your strut zone. Probably within an hour, they're going to be right back into the woods.
Yep.
So, to kill birds out in the fields like we like to do, it's going to be rough tomorrow because of the heat. Those birds aren't stupid. They're going to be in those low, cool areas feeding, in those skunk cabbage areas and those marshy, swampy areas,
mm-hmm.
which there you go. You got if you haven't been blessed with the mosquitoes and ticks so far this season, you will be tomorrow.
You will be. And the next week. All right. Again, typical case of we're going, there was no real spring bang. We're going right into the summer season. And the heat, I know, affects them over the years. I like to get the period D because, again, the extra week, not that it's been, that bountiful for me. But when you get this hot weather, like sudden hot weather like that, it seems that they have a muzzle. They just shut up.
They're going to shut up.
They want to come down. They want to eat, look around, and then go wherever they go. But they don't respond to even your calls, Ron. Yeah, I have your box. I have your pocket. Oh, that's tough, man.
Well, like I said, I was only I've been able to hunt limited time, but I've gone out with a few times, you know, calling, and it's been rough. And again, I'm not the world's best championship caller, but I know how to talk turkey, and they just seem to look at you and say, "Nah, not today, my friend." Yep. And you know, that's humbling.
Absolutely. Okay, join us on the Rockin' Line this morning is Ron Jones, president, owner, CEO, ACP Rednecks Pride Game Calls and Outdoor Sense, based in Monroeville, New Jersey. Super, super products in there. Ron, to your calls now, you have the pot calls, correct? I call them slates, and you have the diaphragms, and you have the box calls, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is your choice of weaponry? This coming week, you're going to be at what is your choice when the going gets this tough? You carry all three? What's the dealio?
Next week, I will be going hard with my aluminum and copper friction or pot calls.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go higher. I'm going to go with my higher pitched box calls. And this is going to blow a lot of people's minds. In my mouth calls, I am going to do a lot of not loud. You never go super loud, but I will be a lot of cutting and aggressive pleading mouth calls. Well, higher pitch. I'm going to go higher pitched. The lower pitch, I tried it. You know, the lower pitches was talking, but it wasn't getting them excited. The other morning with Jennings, we had a bird. And we pushed it. We pushed the envelope too much and busted him. But you know, we try to get up as close as I try to get up as close as I can to him.
Mm-hmm.
If I could, I'd get up within 3 feet of him. It ain't gonna happen. But you know, I'm gonna get as close as I can to him, and then I'm going to really. What I'm trying to do at this point is, we're at the end of the season. They are tuckered, and they're not going to, you know, that hand has got to be super desirable, mm-hmm. is the best way to put it. So I'm going to pull out. I'm going to start off with all three calls. I'm going with the coppers and the aluminums. I really like the copper. Or if you have a glass call, have a glass over an aluminum.
Right.
That has a really, I hate the sound. I personally cannot stand the sound, but the birds love it. And it's got a reverb in it. It's just a metallic sound. It just drives me nuts. But when you get out away from that call, you know, 10, 20 yards, it's like, wow, that's a really pretty sounding call. So I guess what I'm saying is on your pot calls, go to the sounds that nobody's been using all season. Okay. And those metallics, and I fought them for years. I wouldn't even make them for long. I just didn't make them. But you know, the boys out in Kansas, the boys out in Oklahoma, and those Midwest states, those prairie grounds, they love those metallics, the aluminums and the coppers. And I can see why now. It's got that little bit of I can't explain it, but I call it a reverb or a metallic sound. And the birds really like it. So most people use a slate. Most people are going to use glass over glass or whatever. These birds right now are used to those sounds.
Ron, I was just going to ask you about that. Again, especially if you're hunting, this is public land. I mean, these birds have heard it all, probably seen it all too. So this is when you have to pull that all stops. Ron, you have to hang in for another segment. You cannot leave. We're up against a hard break. People, grab that cup, grab that Rev. We'll be back with Ronnie Jones. We're talking crunch time gobblers. Last 5 days, Monday through next Friday, but you can hunt until sunset. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
The WPG Talk Radio app is your connection to South Jersey's talk station. Get free, unlimited local and statewide news from New Jersey's largest radio news team. Download all of our local shows as podcasts and more. Powered by Ambient Comfort. For installation to repairs and maintenance, give Ambient Comfort Heating and Cooling a call today at 856-213-6586. AmbientComfortNJ.com.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Raiders. Me, Tom P. Weekend of May 21st and 22nd. We have on the Rack and Fin line, turkey hunter, turkey gold manufacturer extraordinaire Ron Jones, president, owner, CEO, ACP Rednecks Pride Game Calls and Outdoor Sense, based in beautiful Monroeville. I love that section of the state, man. Oh, farmlands, woods. It is absolutely beautiful. We're talking taciturn toms. Like that word? Tacit, as in quiet, as in they ain't talking. They're not speaking. They got their mouths shut. Those beaks are just like they're glued together. We have the second portion of D-Week, Monday through Friday. You can hunt until sunset, half hour before sunrise, a half hour after sunset. We have Ronnie Jones on the line right now. I want to hit him up for some calls. As he said, you have to, especially on public land, it's been pressured. You got to hit these birds with something they haven't heard. Now, there's still some, unbred hens out there, rare, but there. They are there. You got to get any gobblers the last inch, or not the teenagers. Hey, I'm not, I have no problem shooting a Jake, man. They come in, I like wild turkey meat, and they're legal, and I'll do it. Get these feisty teenagers. But you want a beard, you want a specimen gobbler. This is the toughest time of the season. Ron, you know me, I'm all about the meat. I'll take a Jake. I have no problems with that. But even they seem to be a little like, hey, man, we're not digging that.
Yeah, it's again, it's a weird year. But, my theory is this. If you want to talk like a man, you die like a man. So if I got a Jake coming in like a long beard, he's going to go down. And I'm all about filling tags too. That's just part of it. But the Jakes, even your Jakes now they have master's degrees.
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
they've gotten through the gauntlet and they're doing good. So I mean, a lot of guys are going to be setting and blinds and all that. Here's where you want to set your blinds up in those loafing areas, or especially with the heat, you want to be in those areas where you know the birds will want to loaf. That's going to be your best, you know, out in the middle of the field in 90 degree weather. You're just going to roast in that blind. So get yourself up into the woods a little bit. Get yourself along those woods roads, you know, where the fields and the swamps meet and that type of stuff. It's a location is right. Going to be this week.
Ron, decoys have a place in the game this time?
Well, again, I most people love decoys. I cuss at them.
I had to ask them that.
But decoys this time of year, typically, I'm more receptive to decoys this last week than I will be at all, just because I can work the bird just like that's where the Jake decoys seem to work okay. Mm-hmm. A gobbler decoy for me will work okay. I don't have to worry about the hens pulling off. In other words, you know, I can't tell you how many times you put a decoy out and here comes the hen around the corner and the tom is in tow and she sees that decoy and she off she goes.
Oh, she, yeah, that's right. Yep, and he's right behind her. Yep.
You know, Tom's, if he's by himself and he sees a decoy, then it's male, Tom, you know, males are kind of dumb. we all are when it comes to love, you know? So, I'm not going to bash the decoys too bad today, but I don't like them. But there's a lot of guys who won't hunt without them. And I was just looking at the other night at Cabela's, $150 for a turkey decoy. And I said, wow,
is it Avian brand or one? Someone just asked about that the other day. Tom P, I saw a decoy. God, that thing was almost $200 or something like that.
I know. And yeah. I mean, it was the Avian. And I'm going to tell you what, if you want to look at a pretty decoy, oh my goodness.
Right.
Beautiful decoy. For me to lug that sucker around, the sucker was bigger than I was.
In public land, too. It might get shot, you know? you never know.
Well, who knows about this year? But, no, I would go with, if you're going to go with the blinds, which a lot of guys are doing hunting now. A lot of guys hunt blinds.
Mm-hmm.
You got to set up where the birds are going to be. You can't set up where the birds are in the early season.
Or where you want them to be. You told me that years ago, Jonesy, to get back in that something. We're hunting Salem County. I said, this is turkey. Sure enough, they were there. But it was, again, not similar conditions to this, but similar enough where, Ron, this is spot on information.
Yeah. You got to be where they want to be, not where you want to be.
Hey, Ron, earlier in the last segment, you mentioned getting aggressive with the calls now. Do you have, can you give us some examples of that?
Yeah, what I'm going to do is, okay, if you're using like a yelper, and I would say this to the average guy, just go with your yelpers, okay? But just do pleading talks more. Just talk. Again, not loud. Everybody, when I say aggressive, people think I'm going loud.
Right.
No, because the turkeys do talk. It's just we're never close enough to hear them talk. If you've ever had a chance to set and had a flock around you for 15, 20 minutes, there's a lot of different sounds that they're making. And we don't hear them at 40, 50 yards, but they're making them. But that Tom does. And I made this statement last week to another guy, and he goes, they can't hear them sounds. And I said, they hear the slowest yelp at 100 yards. You're telling me they don't hear the peeps and the purrs and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. You know, some of the noises would be like something like this. Now you got to put them in their place. In other words, you can't just do it like I just did because I was just trying to throw some net and some. That was a brand new call too. You got to break your calls in. If you pull a call out of your mouth, don't go right out in the woods with it. Break that sucker in. but you know that type of stuff. If you got a cutting call, you're doing your cuts. I don't have a cut call with me. I was just a yelper. But if you're going to do your yelps. Change your pitches. I don't know what that sounds like over the radio there. But you know, change your pitches. Start your yelps. Change your yelps up. Change your purrs up. Keep everything going. Talk a little bit more, but talk soft. Talk easy. All right. Aggressive calling, in my terms, is not loud. It's just more of it type stuff.
Ron, under these conditions now, hot, dry, whatever. Again, maybe rain next week. Who knows? But again, it's crunch time, people. It's literally the last minute here. Reasonable time to expect a response, and if nothing, move on. Is it 10 minutes, 15 minutes? What do you think?
Take your temperature. You know, and that's rough this time of year because they're not talking. But typically when they're talking, you can do what I call take your temperature. You make a call, and they come back with a double gobble. Make another type of cut call or another type of purr or key or something like that. And if they give you a triple gobble, that's the bird you can start working a little bit harder, okay? Not louder, harder, just more of a noise, okay? Mm-hmm. At that point, I'm going to still have my three calls. I'm going to have my pot call. I'm going to have a box call. He's out there. And my mouth call. And I'm using all three of them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
As they're getting in closer and he's triple gobbling you, double gobbling you, and he's moving in on you, then I'm going to drop me personally. I drop my pot call first. Jennings, he'll drop the box call first. And then we continue on with the second call. For me, it's going to be the pot call or the box call and the mouth call. As he gets in just about to the place where he's going to start seeing movement, I drop the box call and continue on with the mouth call. A lot of guys will make what I call a mistake. In the early season, especially, where they will start them with one call, and as they're coming in, then they'll add another call, and then they hang up. And then they convince the bird that call is pretty good. And then as the bird gets closer, they'll drop that call and then add another call, and then the bird hang up. You can't do that this time of year, okay? you cannot have him hang up. Once you get him going, it seems like this late season they lose interest very, very fast. So you got to keep him going. You got to keep him going. You know, so drop the call rather than add a call.
And Ron, one thing too, I have to mention again. This is I Denise Marie just looked at me, those big, beautiful green eyes, and says, "Man, you blew that one." We're hunting out by Milmay, Mays Landing area. This time of year, Ronnie, this time of the season, the high bush blueberry was up. And I'm working, heard him. I said, well, okay, let it sit. Again, sit in this one spot for a while. I didn't particularly want to move around, whatever. Well, I get my fat butt up to go. Ron, guess it was about 15 yards away. Just what, right there, right.
Yeah.
But right there, I couldn't see him. High bush blueberry and some other, you know, laurel, whatever was back there. If I had waited again another minute or two, probably would have came into the open area, but did not make a peep, nothing. And there he was right there. Yeah. And I just lost patience and I wasn't really totally aware of my surroundings. And that he was a nice sized bird of public land too. And away he went. Who knows where he is now?
Well, but you bring up a good point, and there's two critical points in there, and more than the patience is the knowing what you have when you have it. Meaning you set up in a place, okay, that was mainly set up for you to hear the bird coming, and that's the running gunner. Or the locate and call hunter. That's what we love. That's what the whole experience for us is calling them in and they're talking the whole way. But when they're not talking, we can't set up in those tight areas because we can't see. They're coming in silence. So number one, setup has got to be where you can see 30, 40 yards, okay, for your shot. You've got to be able to see it. Number two, you've got to know that they're coming in silent, so you've got to be patient, and you've got to be able to see around you. So your setup has got to be geared to they're coming in silent, and it's your eyes are taking over, not your ears. And that's hard for me because I like him talking. I like to pull the trigger when he's talking.
And Ron, two things. Another where I lost my it's just another one of those squirrels. There was a couple of squirrels around, you know, and Rich. It's just another. I heard something. It's just another squirrel. Okay, I'm out of here, man. I gotta get a half mile walk down the road to get to. And there he was. Like I said, my shooting area was fine. Off to the left and off to the right because of that high bush blue. I couldn't see, and I got busted. Oh,
yep.
Oh, that was hard. Oh. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So this coming weeks, your setups has got to be where you can see. I mean, you gotta see it because they're not coming in talking at all. His setup is probably the most important, but especially on a running gunner, he gobbles and he's gobbles close, man. You just flop and you try to get set up the best you can. But if you have a chance to think about it, you know, he's out there 150 yards, get your composure, look around. If you are going to come in, sound like a turkey if you're going to try to close the deal a little bit. In other words, he's at 200 yards and you're trying to get into 100 yards of him. Okay. When you're walking, now remember, you cannot be calling and you cannot stalk him. You're just making your setup.
Right.
In other words,
right.
You scan around and you see, okay, he's there. He is, he's out there about 200 yards. I can move 50 yards or so over to that spot. I can see better. When you get into that spot, a lot of times when I plop down, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to scratch the leaves with a stick or my hand or something like that. I'm going to, they hear you walking. I'm not that much of an Indian. Okay. They're going to hear me walking. So when I get in there, I want to sound like a turkey is in there. Let things settle down and then go into your calling. Take the temperature if he's talking. You may not go hard if you want to go softer calls, but I do know one thing: when it's hot like this, a yelp here and a yelp there every 15 minutes is going to do about as much, excitement in that bird as, watching snow melt.
Very well put, Ron Jones, owner, president, CEO, Redneck Sprite Game Calls and Outdoor Sense. Crunch time gobblers, people. This is it. The last 5 days, period D, second portion, but you can hunt until sunset. Ron, your take on that. I mean, I've spoken to a few guys and gals who were able to harvest a gobbler and some jakes in that late afternoon period. So that's been okay. Not a lot of birds are taken, but it is an extra opportunity.
Yeah, it can be. If you can get to the roost, they're going to be there, and that's going to be an advantage. I plan on this coming week hunting a lot of late afternoons if I can get to the roost areas. Absolutely.
Good. Ron Jones, before we let you go, let's get a plug for that business in the call. Besides the calls, you make some incredible sense. Listen, this is Trout Scent. Mary, Mother of God, Limits. You know what you should call that, Ron? You should call it Limits. Or Stringerful instead of Trout Scent. Just call it Stringerful.
Well, you know what? We've got two more fishing scents coming out, and maybe one of those names will be then. And I'll say it the Tom P. Limits. There you go.
There, hey, sign me out for that one. I'm good with that. Ron, on the overall now for the turkeys, this has been one of the toughest springs you've seen in a while. True.
Yes. Yes, to me anyway. Yes.
So this is. I hope you took Ronnie's tips to heart, because and listen to the podcast if you missed the show. Want to hear him again, because this is the last shot at you. Pay for the permit. Get out there and enjoy. Ron, and give it, pun intended, I guess, give your best shot, because these are, Ron, to me, you get a gobbler under these conditions now, that is a trophy bird. Whether it's a gobbler or a jake, to me, that is a trophy bird. That is hard earned. That is that's doing it in crunch time, man.
Yeah, well, and you're going to earn it. You're going to earn it. It's going to mean more to you. I love the D season. Like I said, typically my best bird comes from the D segment. This year just might be a bird. Not my best bird.
Ron, do me a favor. Give that website, Facebook page, phone number, please. Go.
ACPWildlifePro.net.
Get ready to take. Hey, by the way, how's the lovely Donna?
They're all doing very well. All doing great.
Okay, you take care, Ron. Thanks for joining us. Hey, maybe one afternoon next week after the turkey woods, we can get together for a iced tea and commiserate.
you know, Tommy, I just realized I gave the wrong website for the turkey calls.
What are you doing to me, Jonesy? Come on.
I know. It's rednexpride.com.
Rednexpride.com. All right, we'll see you next week, brother. Be good.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
Take care. Yeah, we're afflicted with turkeyitis this time of year, man. This is tough. Okay, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Fox News, I'm Laura Cantor. Stephen McGraw, head of the Texas Department of Public Safety, says officers waited too long to engage with the Uvalde school shooter. Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer has the details.
He says the 18-year-old gunman entered the school through a propped-up door. Just 2 minutes later, police officers entered the same door, but it took about an hour before the gunman was killed.
Students trapped inside classrooms repeatedly calling 911 from their cell phones during the shooting. President Biden addressing the class of 2022 at the Naval Academy's graduation Friday.
President Biden told more than 1,000 graduates of the U.S. Naval Academy they will help shape a world at an inflection point.
Challenges we face, the choices we make, are more consequential than ever.
President Biden addresses graduates of the University of Delaware, his alma mater, later today.
Fox's Jared Halpern. America is listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Overnight, there will be a couple of showers and a thunderstorm. There still could be some downpours and aerial flooding, low 64. Saturday, intervals of clouds and sun, a thunderstorm in a few spots, high 81. Then clearing is expected Saturday night, low 60. Plenty of sunshine Sunday, high 83. Quite warm on Memorial Day with sunshine, patchy clouds, and a high of 88. I'm AccuWeather's Kerr Babinski on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Again, that was Chris Shoplock, Nomad Design USA Marketing Manager, talking about these lures, these I tell you, these Vertrex and this Shikari. Now, check the Fisherman Magazine, Product Review, Matt Broderick. Had an opportunity to work a boat show with Matt. He's the young gun editor up there in the New York Long Island edition. Great review. And I can't wait to get my hands on these by the end of the week. Again, I feel like I'm committing a sin against the family using these instead of the Azuri Crystal Minnow. It's hurting my soul. Well, we did mention the Fisherman Magazine several times in the last segment. And here's the dealio. Now, the past 2 weeks, the May edition of Fisherman, I keep mentioning Jim Hutchins, one of the greatest fishing tackle editor writers I've ever seen. His no further comment editor's log in the May edition that's still out there. The June edition is coming out very soon. We will not be commenting further at this time. Let me read the last paragraph. Jim's patiently waiting on a line right now. I know he wants to be fishing. He's just making time for me. Here we go. In my personal and professional opinion, the Murphy administration presents a clear and present danger to the future of recreational fishing in New Jersey, not just by the governor's actions, but more so through lack of action and his anti-democratic indifference. And Hutch ends, pure Hutch. I will not be commenting further at this time. I was able to get hold of Hutch on this crazy, crazy weekend. Jim, that was one of your most powerful punch in the gut editor's logs I've ever read. And this whole, listeners, go to it. It lays it out. Jim, there's something rotten going on in Trenton, man.
Tom P., it's good to hear from you. It's good to be here on a Saturday morning. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. I got to stress this. It's not anti-Democrat.
Right.
It's anti-democratic. This happens to be the least transparent administration that I have worked with in nearly 20 years of doing this. Democrats and Republicans alike, I've had better luck getting fisheries news and information than this last 5 years. It is abominable. And I think most anglers are experiencing that firsthand. And I know the hunters, too. So,
Jim, it comes down. You mentioned the council and how it comes out to listen. You have to read the editorial yourself, the editor's log, May edition, The Fisherman, www.thefisherman.com. Subscribe. You'll get it. Listen, this is powerful here. But, Jim, it comes down to what made my eyes pop out. And I knew this, but it's still the reaction. Let's see. Regarding appointments, whatever. Bottom line, people, bottom line. The roll call vote tally drops to 5-2 in favor of commercial when accounting for the missing sport fisherman appointments. Jim, the appointments, where are they? What have you heard? What have you found? Where are they? What's going on?
So this is the important thing for anglers especially to consider. On the Marine, the New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council, by statute, which is law, the appointments have to be made by the governor. And these appointments break down in a very structured way. There's two members of the public at large seats. There are, what is it, three recreational seats. And then there are the commercial seats and there's a shellfish seat. So right now what we have is there's only one member of the public, and that's Eleanor Bohannock. One public seat is missing. Then you have a recreational seat missing. So I think it's supposed to be four, Tom, because you have Dick Herb, who's a recreational, Bob right. Rush, who's a recreational, and Pat Donnelly, who's in Ocean County, is a recreational. So we are missing a recreational and a member of the public, which by itself gives more of the majority over to the commercial guys. Now, the commercial guys aren't necessarily bad, right?
Saying
is this, it affects the vote. Then on top of that, you have the chairman of the council, Dick Herb, who's one of the recreational votes. Since he's the chairman, that means that there are only two recreational seats.
There you go.
Means there's only two votes for the recreational community. Now, I've been trying to get answers. I've gone through the Division of Fish and Wildlife. I've gone through the DEP. Everybody says it's over my head. It's above my pay grade. That's because it's in the governor's office. So I've been trying like heck to try to get the governor's office to respond. When I finally did, basically, as you'll see in the editor's log, the response was, look, we just made a bunch of appointments 2 years ago. Well, that doesn't matter. The statute says you have to make sure that they're stacked every year.
Right.
So they just said, look, we just did this 2 years ago. Don't bother me. As far as when we're going to make the appointments, we don't talk about that. We won't talk about our process. So the simple question I had back was, well, can you give me a time frame? And the governor's office said, we will not be commenting further at this time, which is another way of saying, shut up, don't bother me. We've answered every one of your questions. This is the problem with getting an answer. I'm a member of the media, right? I mean, you can laugh, you say, oh, geez, he's just a recreational fishing writer, he's just a heckler, whatever.
Right.
I represent the media. And in what sense, in what realm, if a member of the media goes to a politician, a governor, a president, and says, look, I want some answers, and they don't give them to you, then that's scary, frightening. The problem is, since this editorial was out, I have talked to other friends who are not in the fishing business, who are not fishermen. They say it's not just you. It's other appointments, it's other commissions.
Oh, wow.
The Pinelands Commission, for example. There's been commissions there. You talk to builders. You talk to other people. They say it's not just you. So basically, in a nutshell, Tom, and for readers or for listeners to understand, what this is you have advisory roles where they put members of the public in advisory positions to advise the government. But if those people aren't being appointed to those positions, then you don't have public process. And I'm under the impression at this point that the Murphy administration, Governor Murphy himself, doesn't want to be advised by the public. He'll do things the way he wants.
Yeah, my way or the highway.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
So as long as you don't put public members into different advisory roles, you stack them when you do with your own people, for example, and then you don't answer the media,
mm-hmm.
What do you have? Again, I started this, Tom, by saying this is not about Democrats and Republicans.
Right.
It's about a politician in office that needs to be held accountable for what he's doing and not doing and the questions he's not answering.
And Hutch, again, is it his? I know his disdain for hunters. I get that, but I didn't think it would come across the fishermen the same. Hell, that I don't care about this, and shoves it off, or again, totally ignores it. How do you see this playing out, Jim?
I really don't know. I talked to a couple of people, in the process, and they say they're working on it, but I mean. Really, from what I'm hearing, is that they have replaced the front door at the DEP with a turnstile because so many people are barreling outside the office. There is a large turnover inside the Department of Environmental Protection because it is really not a great place to work. That's what I'm hearing. I don't know if that's true. That's only what I'm hearing. You know, again, I'm a member of the media. I can only get quotes when somebody's willing to give it. And I'm under the impression at this point that I've kind of been shut down from, for the most part, getting quotes about what's actually happening.
Hutch, I'm a member too, so I hear what's going on. Unless there's as a follow-up editorial, didn't want to touch on this because we have something about porgies coming up with Jim, very important. Go online to fisherman.com, Jim's follow-up editor's log. This is great. This is pure Hutchinson. Mother may I. Hutch, we had a minute or two to go on. I know you're fired up on this one, going at, because I've only very rarely more in the Corzine administration that I go through what you were going through. And that was regarding the bear hunt and the whole bit. That was just crazy.
It's another perfect example of the dog wagging, the tail wagging the dog.
Right.
Look, In a nutshell, I tried to get answers about the summer flounder situation. We did not know going into that Monday start date if it was official. And all I asked of the Division of Fish and Wildlife, I had to go through their press office, mm-hmm. Is it official? Is it starting? 48 hours later, I had no answer. I had to go up the ladder. When I went up the ladder, I got torn apart for not following the process. They spent more time structuring an email to dress me down for not following their protocol for the First Amendment. If they had spent half that time trying to get me an answer, we could have been good. So as most folks know, that the day they started summer flounder fishing in May, they didn't know if those were the limits or not, because the actual notification from the state didn't come from 20. It took 24 hours. Actually, it was 48 hours later before the email came out. So, again, part and parcel of what we're talking about.
And Hutch, but I want to get to the porgies. This is very important on that fishery. Running with something coming up. Hutch, I have to ask you. You have the tenacity of a badger digging for information, and I have to ask you this. Love you as a brother. We've known each other many years. You and your dad and the whole bit. What keeps you going, Hutch? What keeps you going, man? That drive is incredible.
I love my job. I love what I do. I love working for the readers and our advertisers. I wanted to be a news person from the time I was 17 and got my first byline in a local newspaper, Beach Haven Times. So to be able to take my background in journalism and do it for something that I love, oh, my God, it's awesome. So, yeah, I treat our magazine. Look, you can read the Fisherman magazine and get all the tactical information, the hot spots, where are they biting in New Jersey, all of that. But what I really take great pride in is covering the news angle, because I think that fishermen – no, I strongly believe that fishermen deserve a news source, and that's what I want to deliver with the Fisherman magazine.
Jim, you do it superbly, but let's get to the porgies, a.k.a. scup, a possible federal shutdown. Listen, there's a news broken to fishermen. Then, believe it or not, it was covered by Fox News, broken to fishermen first. Jimmy, what's going on with my porgies, man?
So the situation is, when the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council took their vote to raise the size limit 1 inch across the board, my numbers might be a little off.
Yeah, 10 inches.
Their determination was it'll take 30% off the harvest, because based on the Marine Recreational Information Program, we were catching too many porgies. The porgy population is healthy. The stock is totally healthy. I think it's two times overbuilt.
Right.
But because the data showed that we're catching too many, we had to take a reduction. So the council decided that a 30% reduction through a 1 inch coastwide increase in size was going to be enough. NOAA Fisheries then got that determination from the Mid-Atlantic Council and said, no, we don't believe that. We want 50%. So they've gone through the public process, the Federal Register, and I'm still trying to figure out. I was waiting around for maybe a news drop, because, you know, the government loves to drop bad news right before a holiday. But the federal government says, we want to shut down federal waters completely to recreational fishing for porgies. Now, some guys might say, well, I'm going to go out to the rec sites to catch them. Well, most of the rec sites in New Jersey are
beyond 3 miles,
and it's a more robust fishery the farther north you go into New Jersey, and then you get up into New York and New England. But any for hire captain that has federal permits won't be able to catch porgies anywhere, because they have to fall back on the federal regulations. So if NOAA Fisheries does shut down recreational porgy fishing, none of the head boats will be able to have a keeper porgy on board.
Jim, that's going to
be... So I'm a little frightened. I'm a little frightened right now, because the last time I saw this happen was in the fall of 2009. That was when Jane Lubchenco was in the White House, and she shut down our black sea bass.
Remember the sea bass, yeah.
I've never seen anything. Never saw a mid-season closure based on the recreational data. Well, Lubchenco was run out of Washington pretty soon after that. Lo and behold, she's back in with the Biden administration. So, yeah, I'm scared.
No. I didn't know that. Hutch, I didn't know she was back. Oh, boy. That's my fault on that one. Wow. Well,
you can find that one if you go to thefisherman.com and do a Google search on thefisherman.com for the Lubchenco is back, because I wrote that up earlier this year.
No, listen, Jim Hutchison.
Actually, I wrote it up last year.
Jim Hutchison, managing editor, New Jersey, Delaware Bay edition of the Fisherman magazine. Get your May issue. Reread Jim's No Feather Comment editor's log. No further comment. And also his mother, May. That's at thefisherman.com. Jimmy, thanks for joining us on this weekend. You're going to get some fishing in yourself, little brother.
I believe Samantha and I are going kayaking in just a little while. So there'll be a little bit of but mostly kayaking with the daughter. But
Hutch, take care and keep us abreast of this. And by the way, one of these days, Hutchinson, we're going to drag your ass into the studio here in Northfield, okay?
I would love to. I enjoy that very much.
Jimmy, take care. Thanks for being on the top of your game, as always. Best to the family. Best to your dad. Big Hutch, the man, the one, the guy. You take care, brother.
Hey, God bless our heroes this weekend. Don't forget about that.
Listeners, again, I buried my Uncle Tommy. He was with the OSS, World War II. He was 101, 102 years old. These are the people, Vietnam, Iraq, whatever, made the ultimate sacrifice. And Jim, what gets me effing crazy, the people, oh, we hate America. We hate America sucks. That they say that, not really realizing or not even thinking about the sacrifices that were made, Jimmy. That drives me crazy.
You know what? Our heroes, the people who fought and died for this country, gave those people the right to complain about their country.
Yeah.
So I almost sometimes just think of it and say, you know what? You have that right because of the people that you criticize.
You got
so
it.
I know for a fact, and you do, and most of your listeners do, it is because of those veterans, and it's because of the people that gave the ultimate sacrifice. God bless you and those families.
That's it. Jimmy, well said. I'll see you next week, brother. Be good.
Catch him up.
Okay, a little long on that segment. Be right back. Hopefully we have time for a report. Rack and Fin Radio.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG. Talk Radio 95.5.
Hello, I'm Chief Kevin Friel of the Hamilton Police Department. What's the first thing you do when you step into a motor vehicle? If you said buckle up, you're among over 90% of Atlantic County residents who continue to make this life-saving choice, and I thank you. The act of buckling up should be automatic for all drivers and passengers. Fastening your seatbelt is the single most effective way to reduce serious injuries, and it increases your chance of surviving a motor vehicle crash by as much as 45%. On May 23rd, law enforcement agencies across Atlantic County will be joining the statewide Click It or Ticket campaign in an effort to increase seatbelt use. Seatbelts save lives, and everyone, front seat and back, child and adult, need to be buckled up every ride, every time. This message is brought to you by the Atlantic County Office of Highway Traffic Safety and the Hamilton Police Department.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station.
Back for our final segment, Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Happy Memorial Day weekend, as Hutch so poignantly put it in the end of our last segment, May 28th, 29th, and 30th, the Monday. This is a long weekend. Let's close it out with a fishery report from probably the most popular place on a holiday weekend, Long Beach Island. Join us on the line for a report is Dave Edelman. He is the Long Beach Island director for the huge and continuing growing American Angler Fishing Club. Bayside Dave, what's the word, brother?
It's all good, Tom. How you doing, buddy?
Lock, cock, the Radio Rock. Now, your surf fishing LBI with Bayside Dave's Facebook thing is off the charts. We'll get into that some other time, Dave. But what's happening? Boarding a light to Holgate, brother. Give it up.
I tell you, the whole stretch of island is on fire with many kinds of fish in the surf. We got striped bass all over the surf all day long. Clam is the bait of choice, fresh or salted clam. People are also catching striped bass with bunker, and plugs are working. We got SP minnows. We got mag darters, bucktails, pencil poppers. They're all working. People put a teaser on. They're even hitting the teasers.
No.
Tommy Venom, Thomas Monaco. Gets a lot of good bass on plugs. We got bluefish are making an appearance, 5 to 8 pounders.
Nice.
They're hitting plugs. They're grabbing bunker. Tyler Conrad had a 15-pounder last week on an SP minnow. And Craig Pookie was reeling in a striper, about a 26, 28-inch striper on the rig. And a bluefish hit the teaser, and he landed them both. So we're on fire down here, man.
Wow. Man, it sounds crazy.
We got black drum in the surf. They're grabbing clam, which is what they like. And fluke are starting to show up. The water's getting warmer. The fluke are starting to head in. They're going into the bays, but they're hitting the surf too. People are using minnows, you know, killies,
right,
bucktails with squid strips. It's on fire, man. And I tell you, kingfish are even starting to show up. It's early in the season for them, but they're starting to show up.
Whoa, time out, time out. The Royals are here.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you, yes, they are. You know, they've been showing up in some of the southern surf spots, and they're also showing up in Long Beach Island. We got kingfish up to 15 inches are being caught. Carl Chen was out the other day, got a nice 14.5-inch. Bloodworms, fish bites, even small sand fleas. You gather up some small sand fleas in the surf, pop them on your hook. Kingfish love them.
Okay, Dave, sounds like the surf line is hot from Barnacle Light to Holgate. What about the bayside, Dave? What's happening?
The bays have stuff going on, too, man. We got fluke is hot in the shallows, hitting killies and artificials. We got the small bluefish running up and down the inlets and even through the bays. And resident stripers are always around. And very quietly, let's whisper the word weakfish. They can be found. Let's just be very quiet about that and don't tell anybody.
Bayside Dave, thanks for a great report. Listeners, LBI this weekend, man. If it's going to be smoking, you got the fish report firsthand. Bayside Dave Edelman, LBI director for the huge and still growing American Angler Fishing Club. Dave, you have a great weekend. Hope to see you sometime later next week. Now that there's kingfish here, Edelman, you got to take me. Okay, a deal?
That's it. It's a deal, Tom. We got to get together, brother, and catch some fish together.
Take care, brother. Be good. Have a great weekend. Best of the misses.
You too. Thanks again. Yours too.
That's it. That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio. Again, as Hutch says, remember the veterans who made this country great. You hate America, you buttholes. You hate America? Well, the right to criticize about these people gave their lives for the ultimate sacrifice, but you will never understand it. On a better note, God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders. God bless law enforcement. Get out there and enjoy. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Me, I'm going to fish and then eat and drink like a man on death row, then crab, and then eat and fish like a man on death row. Second version. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.